It's going to be awesome. So, Father, we just bless Sharon. Yeah. Father, right now, we just say, Holy Spirit, we are under your control. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We welcome you as the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to oversee, overwatch, and overshadow everything that's happening this morning, whether here on our home or your homes or in live settings all around the world, no matter where you are today, that you feel the presence of your God, that your God sets you free. He breaks into your room with awesomeness, and his mercy would flow like river, and he would fill you today with the joy of the Lord like never before, that fire of God would just be upon you, surrounding you, and overwhelming you in the goodness of our God. So we bless Sharon with this word this morning on New Horizons, and we just say thank you, God, for another day to preach, to send your message to the nations, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Whew. Okay.
I'm going to move offline here.
Okay. All right, guys. Let's get on here. So, So just a big welcome to everybody online this morning. You're very welcome to Father's House. From wherever you're watching in the world, wherever you're watching, just give us a little text and let us know where you're watching from this morning. And just to say, you are welcome in the house of the Lord here at our online church, Father's House UK. Let's go and let someone else in here. So this morning, well, yesterday, actually, I was just waiting on the Lord, and the Lord kind of, took me. I was just doing some soaking and it was just beautiful. And I was sitting or lying down in my bed just with some worship on. And I began to feel this really light rain coming down in the room, just really soft mist coming down in the room. And I was going to open my eyes and I thought, no, I'm just going to lie here because God's in the room. And he just began to speak to me about what is coming, that we've been experiencing like the mists and the drizzles and these little showers. And as I lay there, it began to get heavier and heavier and heavier until my room was flooded in water, flooded. And I was floating like on this ocean. So my room disappeared, the house disappeared, and I was in this ocean. Hence, we did this worship song, Endless Ocean of Love, just this ocean of God's presence. And it was effortless. It was peaceful. It was full of life. And I just feel like this is a season where God is coming to refresh us in a whole new way. With his spirit, he's coming with the light rains, and he's coming with the heavy rains to cleanse, and he's coming to flood our homes, our lives, our jobs, our everything that we touch. If we let him, if we invite him, he's going to come and just begin to flood and move through everything that we are. He actually, I was just thinking in the endless, endless ocean song, if God is an endless ocean, why do we limit him to puddles of provision?
Oh, come on.
If God is an endless ocean, why do we limit him to puddles of provision? Why do we limit him to these little pools of our understanding or our expectation? When he is this endless ocean with everything, it says he will meet all our needs according to his riches, not our expectation, but his riches. So why do we limit him to these little puddles, these little expectations, when we should be expecting the endless ocean of God's goodness over our lives, in finance, in healing, in bringing our children to Jesus, in all these different things, in our community, in our employment situation? Let's begin to set our eyes higher. Let's begin to see what God wants us, where he wants to take us in these days. So he's been speaking to me about new horizons, which I think is really appropriate. Because if you're in an ocean with nothing around you, all you have is the horizon. All you have is the horizon. If you're out in the ocean, you can't see any land. All you have is a horizon. And he was speaking to me about setting a new horizon, that he in this season is setting new horizons for people in their lives, that we are in a season of shaking, and that shaking off some of the stuff so that we can move into this new season. And we want to be willing, we want to be people that are willing to walk with God in this new season and allow him to do the shaking in our lives, to remove the things that need to be removed, and so that we're not carrying those things that are no longer valid and moving into the new, so that we can take on new mantles, new assignments, new jobs, new employment, new location, wherever, whatever God has for us, that we are free, no shackles, to move into what he's doing, what he's setting these new perimeters for us. He's shaking our mindsets, old callings that have run their course. It's a season of new assignments, guys. It's a season of new mantles. It's a season of new wine. It's a season of the new wine of God. Old wine, you know, it gets fusty and musty, and it tastes of, it sticks to your teeth and your tongue, and it's a season of new wine. It's the season to drink of what God is fermenting in these days, in this season. Expectation of endless ocean, an expectation. God is shifting your perspectives. He is shifting your viewpoints. He is shifting your understandings, your experiences, the way you see life and the way you do life. We are in a shifting season. We're in a shifting season. Whether you like it or not, you need to get with the program, because God is shifting things. He is shifting people. For some, it's going to be seasons of uncertainty, a shaking that's going to take you out of your areas of comfort, calling you into deeper waters. So many of us stick to the same thing week in, week out, doing the same thing with the same people, time in, time out. And this is our comfort area. And God is saying in this time, I want your comfort to be in me. I want your confidence to be in me. I want to take you into this endless ocean of expectation and take you out of your areas of comfort. Will you paddle on the edge, or you dabble into your knees or up to your thighs? He's like, I want you to come into the deep waters with me so that I can set you a new horizon. I can set your focus on something different in this season. COVID has done, God did a reset in COVID, and we cannot afford to go back to the old ways of thinking. We have to set our horizon where he has done the reset. We have to set our horizon where he has done the reset. We need to be in a place that where we come close to God, where we get into those rivers, so that we know, we hear, we see, we get close to know his heart in these days. Shifting seasons will bring new horizons to aim for. We'll have new aims vocationally, maybe locationally, maybe a church shift, maybe a friendship shift, maybe a heart shift. The things that mattered greatly at one time will now seemingly be insignificant as God presses new passions into your heart, new challenges into your areas of comfort. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up, to get up, to stand up. We do not have time to try swimming back to the shore when God is setting our sail somewhere different, into different things. What is the definition of horizon? This is the definition. The limit of a person's knowledge, the limit of a person's experience or interest, the line where the earth's surface and the heavens collide. Woo! Come on. You think of horizon as this little line, but actually when you look, it's the place where earth and the heavens meet. It's the place where earth and the heavens meet. And God wants us to get into that place of his horizon where earth and heaven meets, where we're in that place of his presence, where we're soaked in it, aiming for it, flying to it, going to it, paddling toward it without looking back. Job's wife got turned to a pillar of salt because she was no longer moving forward. We want to be people that carry the salt forward into that gap between the earth and the heavens, so that we have something to release around us, to people around us. Horizon. It shocked me when I read the limit of a person's knowledge, experience, or interest. In other words, that's your ceiling. That's where you get to. So it's time to expand our horizon. It's time to expand our knowledge. It's time to expand our experiences and our interests. This is a day of new horizons. When we say that familiar phrase, oh, on the horizon, it's on the horizon, it means it's imminent or it's just becoming apparent. So what is becoming apparent in your life today? What is imminent? What is like you see it birthing like a baby crowning? What is it you're seeing in this season with God? What is it you're seeing around you in your community? What is it you're seeing or hearing in globally? What is it God's showing you? What's on your horizon? What's on your horizon? There's a new call, I believe, for our focus in this season. You're living, I believe, in a new day, a new era, like never before. We are now writing a new era of history. There was a reset. This is a new time. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. Whatever has happened in your past has fashioned you for this day, for this moment. All the joys, all the struggles, all the pain, all those things have fashioned you to who you are today, so that with God in those situations, you become strengthened and equipped for what? For today. God says he created a new day. It's called today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of moving forward. Your lifetime, your life has never been lived before. You are a new creation. All that's going to happen to you is yet unheard of. It's unprecedented. It's unmapped. Yet God has it all there taken care of. Every day is a new beginning with new opportunities. We have moved into a new season, guys, globally, nationally, for some locationally, vocationally. This is a new time. We cannot swim back to the shore. You can. But it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. You'll just be stuck right back there where you've been for years. It's time to take off those life belts and just go. You know, we've heard of like the great moves of the past. We've heard of all the wonders in other places, the signs, the wonders, the healings, the deliverances, the miracles. We've witnessed them ourselves, but we have stepped right now into a new reset, a new era. The temperature gauge of God is gone up. It's just gone up as God calls us to behold. I was looking at the word behold in scripture. There are so many beholds, hundreds of them. Why does he put in the behold? Because he's saying, stand up, wake up, get up, behold, look, see, watch. What am I doing? What am I saying? Why am I giving you this parable? Why am I showing you this picture? Behold, beholding. You can't behold if you're asleep or got your eyes shut. Beholding. Be in the place of seeing. Be in the place of waiting. Be in the place of watching. It's time to open your eyes, not just mine. Guys, this is your eyes. These are your eyes. What is God showing you? What is he calling you to behold in these days? You get up in the morning, you pull back the curtains and you're like, whoa, it's cloudy, it's sunny, it's going to be a good day, it's going to be a rainy day. You see why? Because you behold. You behold, you have to open your eyes to see the day. You have to open your eyes to see what God is doing around you, or you'll miss it. If you stay in your bed and your curtains pulled and your eyes closed, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss what God is doing. This is not the season to sleep. This is not the season to hide away. This is not the season to be monastic. This is the season to behold. Awesome. What am I doing? This is a new day, says the Lord, a new reset, a new horizon. The morning light calls you to awake, and God is the morning light. It says the sun rises with what? Healing in his wings. If you don't see the rising of the sun, there's no healing for you. If you don't see the rising of the sun, there's no healing for you. Well, there's a word for somebody right there. We know we cannot go back to what was. Oh, I do not want to go back to what was. I want everything. I want the new feasting table, you know. I don't want to go to the old parties. I want the new parties. I want the new wine. I want the new feasting table. I want to be where God wants me to be and do what he wants me to do. I want to have fun with my friends. I want to have fun with life. He has made this world for our pleasure. It's time. It's time. What is your new season? What is your new day? What is your new assignment, guys? What do you see? In scriptures, there's various words for to see. It's lo. Lo. No, ho is, hey, pay attention. Lo is, what are you seeing right now? Behold, look, see. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is hene, and it's made up of three Hebrew letters, two the same. So we've got he, nun, and he. Those three Hebrew letters. He means to behold, to look. It's a window. It's the sign of a window to take notice of. And the window allows light. It's actually a letter that comes across and down. And then the other one, the top of the other line. So it's like a little square like that. But in the top left-hand corner, there's a little gap, a little window. And that's when like the sun would come up early in the morning, and this little window in the heat of the day would allow the breeze in, allow the light in. It's a really, really special letter. And God is saying to you today, can you see through the window that I'm giving you? Can you see through the portal that I've opened for you to behold through? Can you see what I'm doing? Are you beholding? Are you taking notice? Are you just sitting in this little cage, just being comfortable and looking after yourself? Behold, look at the window. See what's happening. Look out and see what's happening. And the window also can speak of a narrow place. And it reminds us of the narrow gate, you know, that quite often our walk isn't an easy walk. It's not an easy walk. It's a narrow road. And we're called to walk a narrow road. The letter nun means seed or fish. And it speaks of provision. Something small that'll grow in the correct circumstances. And each culture has a strong influence on our language. Like Americanisms have very much a different focus, a different cultural strength on some words than we do. And I was listening to Kelly speaking about the Khmer language and how poetic it is and the power of the words that they use, because their language is much shorter. Their vocabulary is much smaller, so it's very extensive in its meaning. So each culture has its own influence on language. And Israel itself were land-dwelling people. This is all in Ros Mitchell's book, Hebrew Gold, Ros Mitchell. Get it on Amazon. Hebrew Gold, Ros Mitchell. It's in my bedroom. By Ros Mitchell. It's on Amazon. Get it. It's Hebrew for beginners. It's brilliant. It will take you into deep places in scripture that you never thought you would get into. So nun, this letter nun, a seed or a fish. Israel were a land-dwelling people. And so seed was really important for them for survival. Really important for them for survival, because they knew that wherever they went on the land, if they had seed, they would survive. They would have crops to plant, seed to sow for new crops, and they'd have seed for their bread. So the very essence of the letter nun is about faith and faithfulness. And it speaks about God's faithfulness to us and our faith in his faithfulness. So every time we look, every time there is a look, a see, or a behold, it means that God is calling your attention, that window, he's calling your attention to something important. It means that when he's calling you to behold, he's planting a seed in you of something that he wants to grow, something that is imminent, something that has yet to be birthed. So in this season of the New Horizons, there's a beholding of God, where he's calling us into this ocean, toward this new horizon, planting these seeds as we focus on him, seeds that are going to germinate and grow into whatever he has purposed for your life. He says, behold, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. So the New Testament That was the Old Testament. The New Testament, Greek word, is eide, and it means to perceive with the eyes or the senses. To perceive with the eyes or the senses. And we know that with the Holy Spirit, we're open to dreams and visions and encounters with God. So we can see and behold in those places of our senses, beholding God. Sometimes there's a perfume that comes in the room that causes us to behold God. There's signs and wonders that cause us to behold God. There's atmospheres that call us to behold God. So in the New Testament, this word is expanded, and it's to perceive with the eyes or the senses, to turn your eyes or mind towards something, to pay attention to experience, to examine and inspect into knowledge of. So whenever in this season, when God has said, I've done a reset, he's saying, behold, I've done a reset. Behold, I want you to perceive it. I want you to see it with your eyes. I want you to experience it in your spirit. I want you to feel it with your soul. I want you to search it out and gain knowledge of it. I want you to know it. Statements such as, behold, the Lamb of God. Take notice, the Lamb of God has arrived. Matthew 9, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with him and his disciples. Oh, are we allowed to hang out with tax collectors and sinners? Oh my days, they love Jesus. Why don't they love us? Maybe we're not enough like him. Maybe we shun them. Maybe they know they're not welcome. But they came, they flocked to Christ. They flocked to him to eat with him and talk with him. He fascinated them. What is it that is in us that fascinates people? It's Jesus. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Why do we need to behold that? What is the story? What are we to learn from that? Behold, you will conceive and bear forth a son. Can you imagine if Mary hadn't have listened? Could you imagine if she had just turned away from the behold? Where would we be today? Genesis 3, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. What have we got to learn there? Each behold in scripture is a teaching for us. It's something that we need to feast upon, camp in, and dwell upon so that something is birthed, that seed is birthed, that we see through that window of revelation, and a seed is birthed in us to create more and more of the spirit of the likeness of God in our lives. Revelation 1, behold, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. What you see, guys, is not dependent on your clock. It's not dependent on your phone. It's not dependent on your circumstances. What you see is dependent on what you focus upon, on your horizon, or who you focus upon. What you see is dependent on where your focus is, or who your focus is upon. There are other things that control when you don't see the season you're in. You know, it's like your phone. How many people spend time on their phone, hours on their phone playing games? How many of our children spend hours on the iPads playing games or watching the TV? What are we beholding? What window are we looking through to gain perspective for our lives in this season, to gain perspective for our nation, to gain perspective for our children? What window are we beholding through? So today I am prophetically calling out change. I am declaring and decreeing today that there is a new coming into your life. I declare and decree that over you today, that this is a new season for you. You have entered into a new season. Change is here to stay. The shift in your life has begun. The shaking has begun. It is a new day, a day of new horizons. I declare that over you. No matter what you're going through today, this is a new day for you today, a new shift, a new era beginning. Choose today to step into what God has for you. Choose today to step into the ocean. Choose today to leave the shore and focus on the horizon that God is calling you to. Choose today the window that plants new seed in your soul. If you're feeling dry in Jesus today, if you're feeling dry and not feeling the presence of God, it's time to look through that window so that you receive that seed of beholding, so that something fresh is birthed within your life today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Behold, he says, the old has gone, the new has come. So he says, if anyone is Christ, the new creation has come. Did you hear that? And then he goes, behold, listen, see, look, the old has gone. Stop trying to pick it up. Stop trying to find it. It's gone. The new is come. So all that was old, that word is archaios, and that means what was from the beginning, what was the original, what was primal, what was old and ancient, the times, the seasons, the conditions of your life. In Christ, they are gone. Parakoi, a person now moving forward. Those old things are perished. They have passed away. You have arrived. That's what that word means. You have arrived. So all that was old, ancient, original, primal, in Christ, they are gone. They have perished. They have passed away. You are a person now moving forward. You have arrived.
Yeah.
You have arrived. Come on. Woo!
Get excited.
Wow. Come on. So behold, says the Lord, look, see, open your eyes. For the new kainos, a new kind, a new breed, yet unheard of, unused, has been made fresh and has come into your life. Gin om hia, to come into existence, to begin to be, to arise, to come upon the stage, to be finished. What do you see? How do you see yourself? The old is gone, perished, passing. You have arrived. You have been made new. Who you are is yet unheard of. It's unused. This is a new day. God has brought you onto the stage as a finished product, yet still in progress. You have come into existence. The old is gone. The new has come. Come on. This is exciting, guys. Woo! I wish we were on like sound and I could hear you all shouting. It'd be like, hallelujah, come on. Woo! So what do you see? Where are you looking? What is your focus on this season? What's your horizon? Where are you swimming toward? You're on a journey, individually, corporately. Individually, to touch lives around you with signs, wonders, miracles in your sphere of influence that he has placed you in, the marketplace, to improve the business, to bless your employers, to bless your employees, to grow something in the marketplace that represents Christ's ethical character, moral character. Maybe he's placed you in the church. Maybe he's placed you in government. Maybe you're working in council, in the schools, with the elderly, with the children, with the youth, with agriculture, health and wellness, coaching, mentoring. Where are you placed? Where are you placed? Where has God put you today? Where has he placed you today? I'm challenging you today. Where are you placed? What is your assignment? Go heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse those with skin diseases, break down the demonic forces, break down the assignments. You can do that everywhere and anywhere, anywhere he's placed you. Corporately, we gather. Why? For this, for teaching, for offerings, for fellowship, for worship, for the testimony of Christ in your individual lives. We're creatures of habit. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to go to kind of the same cafe, sit in the same seat, have the same food. You know, I've watched people. I remember when we started church, and we used to change the chairs all around. I'm sure Cherie remembers this. Just to turn the chairs all around. And people would look for them and go and sit in their same seats. And they would panic if they couldn't sit in their proper seat. And I remember one day we didn't put any chairs out. And I watched people lift a chair and look for where they would have sat and put that chair in that empty space and sat on it. We are creatures of habit. We are creatures of habit. We are predictable. We like to be comfortable. But it's time for change. It's time for change. The shift has begun. It's time to get out of what is comfortable into what God wants you to do, or where he wants to take you, or where he wants you to be, or how he wants you to represent him. He wants you to be blessed. He is a good daddy. He wants you to have joy in your life, favor in your life, pleasure in your life, purpose in your life. Try some new things, new cafes, different tables, new food. Go travel. Go experience this creation that he's given us. It's a new season, guys. Will where you have been get you to where you need to go? Will where you have been get you to where you need to go? If not, it's time for change. If we don't untether ourselves from the past, from what has become a habit or simply comfortable, from the old traditions, the old ways, how can we ever embrace something new? How can we ever embrace something new? If you have a dog that's tied to its kennel, it can never experience an open field. It can never experience chasing a rabbit or doing dog things, you know? If we don't untether ourselves from what has held us and kept us comfortable, you will never experience new things. You will never experience what God is doing. You will never experience the new wine. It's time, God. It's time. It's time, Lord. If we're truly going to be part of the church that he is building in this season, one that the gates of hell cannot stand against, we need to define what it is to be the church of Yeshua in these days, in this season. Ed Silvoso stated, he made this statement, "The ecclesia is the governmental body of people coming together to make decisions on behalf of the one they represent." Let me say that again. The ecclesia is the governmental body of people coming together to make decisions on behalf of the one they represent. This word is a military term used to describe a united force against which hell could not prevail. You're part of a united force that hell cannot fight against, that hell cannot win. We are on the winning side. Principalities and powers were defeated at the cross. Every principality and power that was assigned to your life, every assignment that was assigned to your life was disempowered. So don't give it power. Don't give it that doorway. Stay focused. Stay focused. You don't go to church, you be the church. You don't go to church, you are the church. Sunday is not being the church. Living and walking with Jesus day by day is being the church. Loving those around you is being the church. Having fun and laughing with friends is being the church. Stopping for the one who is in need is being the church. Worshiping with others is being the church. Taking time to listen with God is being the church. Releasing the words he has given you is being the church. Being the church is not a religion. Being the church is not a cage. Being the church is not being full of fear, but knowing that you have an awesome Father who created this beautiful world for your pleasure, for you to explore and take care of, who created each other to love and comfort, who gave us this amazing creative nature, his wisdom, his power, his might to transform dark places into gorgeous kingdom places. Being the church is being fully alive, full of joy, even in hard places. That is being the church. We want to be a governing army of Holy Ghost believers who can go into meetings in buildings but cannot be contained by the buildings they're in. Let me say that again. We want to be a governing army of holy believers who can go to meetings in buildings but cannot be contained by the building that they meet in. We do not want to be defined by, oh, that's that church or that's that church. I am the church. We are the church. Get past the bricks, guys. Get past the bricks and get into the ocean. God says, if God is an endless ocean, why do we limit him to puddles of provision? It's time. What circumstances are you in right now? Where, what are your help me prayers to God right now? Let him turn it into favor. Let him turn it for your good. Partner with him in those times. Partner with him. Let him do what he's doing in those times. Let him teach you what he's teaching you. He's not done with you what he started in you. He won't be done until it's good, because he's a good God. He's a good daddy. Sometimes daddies let us go through things so that we learn. And he'll bring it for good. He always does. He turns everything for good. Exodus 33:19, I love this, with Moses, the top of this mountain. What does he say he's going to see? He said, I will cause what? My goodness to pass before you. And I will proclaim my name, Jehovah, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and compassion on whom I have compassion. Oh my gosh. He didn't say, I'm going to show you my power, my might, and how awesome I am. What did he say? I'm going to show you my goodness. He is good. He's good. It's time to take back what's been stolen from you, from your family, your peace, your joy, your strength, your love, your hope, your vision, your dreams, your passions. God has come with new horizons. His glory is coming like nothing you've ever seen before.
Come on. Yes.
His power is coming like nothing you've ever experienced before.
Get ready.
Signs, wonders, and miracles are coming like you have never seen before. The greater works, the power encounters, the love encounters, like never before. The shift has begun. Spiritual people born of fire, fashioned in the furnace of life with God in their midst. I'm sure Daniel wondered what on earth was happening when he was chucked into the furnace, you know, and the lions. And here we are, spiritual people born of fire, fashioned in the furnace of life with God in our midst. What are we doing with it, guys? Today, there is a new horizon. Can you see it? Can you see it? Fear is not your future. He is. Sickness is not your story. He is. Heartbreak is not your home. He is your home. Death is not your end. He is. He is. He is everything. He is the Alpha and Omega. He was there at your beginning. He will be there at your end. You will be with him for eternity. It's time to awaken, time to open your eyes, time to see what God is doing in you and around you. It's time to say goodbye to pain and shame and anger and resentment and fear and guilt and death. Some of you today listen constantly to the spirit of death, like you're waiting for it to happen. I break that off you in the name of Jesus right now, and I declare life over your spirit, life over your body, life over your mind and your heart. Amen. It's time to let the light in, the truth in. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light, not just on you, but in you.
Yes.
No light, no direction, no pathway, nowhere to go, no horizons, no sunrises. It's time for a new day. It's time to awaken. It's time to see. It's time to behold, says the Lord. I am doing a new thing. Do you see it?
Come on.
Only when you see with your eyes open. Only when you see the road ahead. It's a new day. It's morning time. Waken up, people. Open your eyes. It's not dependent on your clock and your phone and your circumstances or your neighbors or your car not working or your electric's not working. It's not dependent on those things. It's a new morning. It's a new morning. You're in a new season. There's been a global shift, a global reset. You're part of it. Globally, nationally, locally, personally, individually. You're part of it. What is your reset right now? It's time to let God shape all that you've been through and going through for good. It's time to set sail for new horizons. It's time to get off the shore, guys. Stop being comfortable. Stop sitting in the same seat doing the same thing. It's time to swim. It's time to find freedom. What revival has God called you to birth? What opportunities do you have to bring the miraculous, power-filled kingdom of God to the world around you? What organizations do you have access to that you can use to advance the kingdom of God on earth and raise up an army of the Lord in your area? Where is your influence? Where is your horizon? What are you doing with it? You are the church. You are the church. It's time to wake up and see, behold, I am doing a new thing. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. God, we declare it today over each one. We declare, God, this new season. We declare, God, the power of reset. We declare, God, the power to behold. We declare, God, the power to see and perceive and to look. We declare, God, that in that place, Lord, that these ones today, God, would receive the seed of birth, something that is going to birth something new within them. We declare, God, a shifting in their perspective and their mindset. We declare, God, your will to be done in this season, Father. We declare, Father, that we would be in the place of people, a holy laid down people, that we rest on the horizon between earth and heaven, where the earth and the heavens meet, God, that would be our resting place, that would be the place where we sleep and we eat and we dwell and we feast and we drink, God. That place where earth meets heaven, Lord, that place of your dwelling, that place of power and impact. We receive today, God, your healing. We acknowledge today, God, that the old is gone, past, deceased, and we have come into the new, that we're established, that you've placed us in existence this very day for your purposes. We thank you for the pleasure of nature, for the pleasure of this creation. We thank you for friendships. We thank you for work. We thank you, God, for every connection that you've given to us. Let us take it today, Abba. Empower us, God, to bring change. Thank you for new horizons. I bless each one of you today to know your horizon. I bless each one of you to waken, to know the road ahead, that the light would shine in you, through you, and on you, all around you, that it wouldn't just direct you, but it would direct others to you and to him. I bless that in you today. May you be blessed with the goodness of God today.
Amen.
Let us get past this small-mindedness. If God is the God of the endless ocean, let us not be people of the small puddles. Let us not be people. Let us not be puddle jumpers. Let's get into that ocean, guys, and swim toward that horizon where heaven meets earth and dwell in that place. May God bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.